lease agreement that it sounds like this development depends on. I think there are a lot of other people here in the virtual meeting room as well that are here for the same reasons that were drawn to this meeting for that cause. So that's all I have for right now, but thank you for allowing me to speak.
Of course. Thank you for your comments. And if you have questions or comment, as we have the discussion, feel free to raise your hand or indicate that you do so. Anyone else that would be interested in making comment?
John Meyerson has a raised hand.
John, welcome. What's your comment?
My name is John Weisbeck. Can you hear me? Is my volume okay?
It sounds great. Thank you.
So we're aware of this transfer that was made to Grand County some time ago. I think it's been 12 years. My organization, Living Rivers, protested that its original purpose was to provide water for a potash company that never developed. And so there's a lot of water rights that have been transferred to Grand County and sometimes Emory County, and for the purpose of extracting potash and extracting lithium, for example. But recently, a lot of counties are transferring water rights to Grand County for development, residential development. And most of the existing people who already live here are not in favor of this kind of development because it increases taxes, it increases the value of our homes to the point where we can no longer afford to live here. And I know we have a lot of people in the service industry that need affordable housing, and these big projects make it more and more difficult to afford rent, for example. But one of the reasons why this company is asking you for water is because they actually drilled 3 wells, and they started using that water without permission. And we filed a complaint about this, and the state engineer shut them down. So in a way, their water problems were created by themselves. And I think you need to be very leery of the professionalism of the people. They could actually harm your water right. And so I urge you to be very, very cautious. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, John. I can't read that. Is there someone else that would like to make comment?
I don't see anything else.
Is there anyone else that would like to make comment to this item?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. My name is Laura, and I am also here to share concerns on behalf of Cane Creek Development Watch. I'm just going to echo a lot of what John was saying. So those water rights are tied to a very controversial.
Whoops. Sorry, Laura, we've lost you.
Can you hear us?
Oh, I think we might have got you back. Say that. Yeah, we're struggling with your connection a little bit, Laura.
Okay. I could try to... Wait, one second.
I got you now. You're coming through clear right now.
Are you Laura Long?
No, this is Contact.
Yes. KCD. Well, yeah, it's the same. I'm speaking on behalf of Cane Creek Development Watch, which we're basically a nonprofit that works with Living Rivers. But anyway, I don't know where I cut off, but
Sorry, we're struggling with your connection.
Cordell.
I'm not sure that it's on our side.
Maybe she can try to contact through Laura alone. See if that connection's any better.
It looks like maybe she left to try to come back. We'll give her a minute, but in the meantime, any other comment?
Is this working again?
Now you're on.
We can hear you, yes.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm also having technical difficulties. It looks like I'm speaking. Can you guys hear me?
We can right now.
Okay.
You may be challenging your bandwidth.
I cannot hear you guys now.
You're on the long one.
Can anybody else hear them? Okay, yeah, it's definitely me. My bad, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, so this development was known as the Cane Creek Development, and they've recently rebranded as Echo Canyon. These guys have been working with the state of Utah they've got a law passed for them that allows them to incorporate their luxury resort that's planned in the floodplain of the Colorado River. They got a state law that allows them to incorporate as a town, which allows them to skirt around all of our land use regulations and laws we have here in Grand County, and they get to make up their own and appoint themselves as government. We think there's some conflict of interests there, among other things, but in addition to all of that, they've received millions of dollars in public funding through the state legislature as well, and that is going to a nonprofit that goes towards really big PR campaigns and not infrastructure for affordable housing like the PR campaigns say. It's a demand more supply campaign, which their job is to just simply educate rural Utahns on how housing is supposed to work, and that's supposed to justify their luxury resort. And then John was saying they were red tagged by the Division of Water Rights in May of 2024 for illegally using a well. And we had some volunteers who were watching that, and they would have continued to use that if we weren't watching. So these people are really, I would just be suspicious as well. They're pretty untrustworthy, and even the BLM and Intrepid Potash, which is the both of those entities, have protested and complained about this development in the past. These guys are already under in litigation right now for claiming that they had 422 acre feet of water, and it clearly, by going out and asking you for water, it goes to show that these guys knew that they didn't have water the whole time. And so to get their preliminary municipality checked off by the state, they essentially lied or were about how much water they had. So it's just kind of like this entire thing sets a precedent of taking advantage of smaller rural communities like you guys and us, and they're looking for public subsidies and other things and ordinances in order to fund their luxury resort. So I urge you guys to be really cautious with this. This is extremely high risk, and it would expose you guys as a county to some entanglement and ongoing litigation and a lot of political controversy. So, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
Kyle's got his hand raised again.
Kyle, go ahead.
Thank you. Again, my name is Kyle Kaiser, down here in Moab. In the meeting agenda, I wasn't able to find a copy of the proposed lease agreement, but I do see that it says that it's an annual lease. Is that correct?
No, it's not. an annual lease. The payment would be annual. But
okay.
but it's longer than just a 1 year lease.
What is the term of the lease?
That's currently written 60 years.
60 years is the term that's proposed.
Okay, that answers my question. My concern was that if it was on a shorter term basis, because this is necessary for their project, that if the lease were not to be renewed, then it would kind of expose you guys to kind of some of the entanglements that Laura was talking about, where you might have a community that is developed dependent on that water lease, and in the case that the water lease is not renewed, then you're cutting off that community, basically.
Yeah, the billing. But the term of the lease, as proposed, is 60 years.
It has an annual increase, and there's a basis for it. But the term is 60.
But that was just the point I was wanting to make, that basically if this development goes forward and is dependent upon that water lease, ending that water lease at any point, I think, would be very difficult and expose the county in that way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the comments. Anyone else that'd like to make comment to this? Okay. Questions, discussion? Can't one question I had be in the event that we were to approve this lease and sign it, at what point they would still need to sign it, I suppose, and at what point would the payments begin, and is it contingent on any other items on their end that would delay the payments?
So would it begin? It would begin at the time that we signed the agreement and prorated out the payments due. So that right now it's scheduled to be signed in November, so they pay for the month of December, and then it would be prorated for the 2025, and then it would be based on an annual payment in 2026 and forward.
So it's not based on the approval of the OR or any other entities?
I think that's a... we did put it in.
Change application that occurred like 12 years ago, the point of diversion is right next to the Green River. Across the river is the city of Green River in Emory County. So this is a project that's on the Colorado River. And so I think need a professional attorney to help you with this decision, because I think they have to do a change application to change the point of diversion to the Colorado River. Unless they're planning on building a very expensive pipeline all the way from the Green River to Moab. So, I mean, we can just sign this lease and we'll get a payment. I mean, I can see why you would want to do that. But I'm sorry. My neighbor just came in the house. I gotta go downstairs. So, so there's a lot of complications to this, and I think you can't make a decision until you get some professional advice, maybe from the state engineer's office or from an attorney. That's all I'm saying.
Matt, to answer your question, and also Mr. I think it's Weishet.
It's Weishet.
Weishet, okay, thank you. Water under this lease is subject to approval and availability under governing laws, rules, regulations, agreements, and priority of the water right. So it still needs to be approved.
With or without the change of diversion.
Right. And we have, we have consulted a water rights attorney in the drafting of this document. Not getting anything from Craig. I called and also texted as to the availability of that 700 acre feet, remainder of 700 acre feet.
Lorinda or Kent, could you verify that the document's available on our website? Okay, thank you. Go ahead, John.
Thank you. I think most of us aren't really prepared for this meeting. Maybe could we postpone this and come back after everybody's been informed and well read?
You know, the agenda is posted. I'm not seeing the packet. Is that separate?
It may not have been.
The agenda's there, but not.
If the document is not in the current packet that's been posted to the public,
the packet itself is not posted.
Okay. then I would propose that that we haven't met our requirement for transparency and diligence to be able to make a decision today. Also, in light of the fact that we have a 1 o'clock meeting as well, we do have time constraints that I'll point out, and I'm open to discussion on whether we need to or ought to or want to table the item. I think to John's point, we have an obligation to provide all the information that we're considering to the public, and if we haven't been able to do so at this point, then maybe the right thing to do would be to table it to a later date.
I have a question to Kent on item 23 and how it applies to what we're doing right now. If you could read it, item 23.
Yeah.
Matt, as far as the packet itself, it's not required under the Utah Public Notice website. We have to post the agenda, but the packet is not required under the statute. I just pulled it up to double check.
And would you read to yourself number 23 as well, Kent?
Okay.
To Jack's point. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, not exactly. So the packet's not required. And I think that's the reason why in the past Brian's collected the packets after the meeting.
And then posted them.
No, just the minutes is required. The packet does not get posted.
Oh.
It's not required anymore. If you go back and look at the old meetings, I don't see a packet posted for any of them.
Okay.
So you're right, Dan.
Well, in the interest of time as well, we do have a time constraint.
Table it then. Is your recommendation?
Yes. I would entertain a motion to table.
Well, I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
We table this until we get further understanding if it's been posted right or if the confidentiality number 23, what that means as far as what we have to declare or show making this agreement.
So we have a motion and a second to table item number 7 to a future meeting when it's appropriate to bring it back. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for your participation to those that are with us in person and virtually. I believe we've completed the other items on the agenda. Is there anything else that we need to discuss prior to adjourning? Andy, do you have anything else?
No.
Seeing that we've completed the items on the agenda and there's nothing further to discuss, I'll declare the meeting adjourned by acclamation at 12:58. Thanks, everyone, for your participation.